from Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
We're going to need a little more gut fuzz than that. But right, yeah, fuzz us up.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spit on my collar and mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Ooh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University, Beers with the Brewers.
Welcome once again to the Land Grant University Presents Beers with the Brewers podcast here at the Land Grant Tap Room, recording each week in the Kickstarter room. Joining us today, we have Big Wall Keys.
Hello.
Brewer Dan.
I am here.
And we've got a special guest this week.
Oh, boy.
Hajir Daisy Picker Karimi.
All day.
Also known as Hajir So Dank Karimi.
Also, all day.
Fresh in from the Daisy Fields.
What's going
so,
on, guys?
Yeah, anytime historically you've heard the soundbite, so dank, when we're referring to hops, this is our guy.
You're welcome.
Thanks for joining us this week, Hajir. Sure. Adam, he's pretty busy today, but he may make a surprise pop in if it times out.
I feel like Adam may have given up on this podcast. This is two straight weeks that he's been gone.
Yeah,
he's just doing
manual labor
outside.
He's a busy boy.
Getting ready to open that beer garden up again this weekend for the big Pride Fest after parties.
Yeah.
He's going to look like a lobster by the time he's done.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he's maxing out that SPF.
He's a fair-skinned boy.
Yeah, fair-skinned.
He can't be out there too long.
So this week we're talking about our collaboration with Streetside Brewery. We made a milkshake IPA with them with peach and apricot. It is delicious. It does have a pretty big hop presence. There's just so much fruit and so much flavor in this. It's just got a lot of everything. Suggested pairings this week. For the taco, we've got a pulled pork and peach salsa taco. And for you chili folk out there, how do I even say that, Dan?
We're going to go with carbonara, which is an Argentinian stew with peaches.
That's
I've not tried, but sounds delicious.
That's a deep cut from the chili genre.
Is there any meat in that stew?
There is.
It is like
a beef chili.
Nice.
But with some other stuff, some corn and potatoes, but it is chili-like. I'm not going to repeat. I'm not going to be the guy that does that.
That sounds pretty good.
Not
sounds
this guy. Delicious. Not on my watch. Not going to happen.
We got some upcoming events.
Sure do. We're going to have a World Cup watch party here on Friday. Spain's taking on Portugal in a pretty big early match. And our friends at Crew SC are sending Portuguese national Pedro Santos down to the tap room to take in the match here. So he's going to be hanging out watching the game. Crew are going to be giving away some fun stuff, doing some raffles and some tickets and some prizes. So come check that out. This upcoming weekend, we've got Pride Fest happening down on the river, just down the street from Land Grant. So to help celebrate that, we're going to be having kind of an afternoon Pride party here at the Tap Room and Beer Garden. DJ George Brazil will be spinning music all afternoon. We'll have a inflatable unicorn shooting water out of its horn to beat the heat. We'll have some drink specials, Jello shots, I believe. If you're heading down to the parade on Saturday morning, look for the Land Grant crew marching in that parade. We'll have quite a few of us down there joining in the revelry and then retreating back to the brewery for some fun and heading down to Pride itself to celebrate as well. Hickory and Oak, the last one, at least for a little bit, is going down on Sunday, June 24th here at the tap room. So get your tickets for that. I know our chef's table is sold out, so tickets are going quick, so don't hesitate, buy those, because it's going to be the last one for a little bit.
Yeah, that's going to be a blowout. We've got several, celebrities for Columbus anyway, chefs chiming in on that. Sangeeta from the table, Marcus Meacham of numerous restaurant fame.
Mad skills.
But the idea for that one is to do, I'd like to try to do original beers for every course, or at least debut stuff that you've never had before. It should be awesome, awesome.
Yeah, and you shouldn't need any more pitch than that. That sounds excellent.
Don't sleep on that one.
All right, getting into the history of the style on our hazy New England juicy milkshake, whatever we want to call it.
It is not a recognized style by the BJCP. They just updated their style guidelines in 2015, and this has only popped up in the last couple of years. GABF did add a hazy/juicy category to their judging this year. But yeah, not so much milkshake IPAs, sort of its own thing. So at the base, you've got your classic NEPA Vermont style IPA, which will have a hefty dose of oats or wheat or spelt or something to give you that mouthfeel, and also the haze that has come to define the style. It will have a saturated hop flavor, thus the juiciness. But in addition to that, the milkshakes will have some lactose added, and usually some fruit, and sometimes a little vanilla bean as well, give you that sort of milkshake feel. I'm trying to think. I don't think I have had one outside of the one I am currently drinking right now. But then again, I'm not an East Costa. I don't get the Omnipollo and Tired Hands are the biggest practitioners of the style. They, in response to, I forget the guy's name, the founder of Beer Advocate, wrote a rant against cloudy beers.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you think this is cloudy? And so they took their cloudy beer and added fruit and lactose and vanilla to it and invented the milkshake IPA, essentially.
Pretty much Omnipollo in Stockholm, Sweden is the originator of the style, and then brought it to Pennsylvania for a collab series.
Yep.
Much like the collaboration that we did with Streetside.
Speaking
right.
of collabs. So this is we brewed this beer with Streetside Brewery from, they're down in Cincinnati, Ohio, in the Columbia Tusculum area, so down near the river in a floodplain, much like ourselves. And Mark, you were, I think, there when this collaboration sort of
came out of the ether. Yeah, we were down at Cincy Beer Fest, and we had recommended to us by Jimmy from Little Fish that we should check out the Streetside Brewery. We looked on the map of the convention center. All we had to do was move the black curtain behind us because they were immediately backed up to us and made quick friends with Luke down there. Good guys, Luke and Garrett.
Yeah, we sort of ping-ponged emails back and forth and decided we both wanted to do something kind of on the hazy front. And we were looking to dial in our fruiting process, so we decided we would do a milkshake IPA. The missus and I were going on a trip down there anyway, so we stopped by and I talked to Garrett for a little while and sort of hammered out the details. But Luke came up the opposite way. It was cool because it was a true collaboration. Most of the details were ironed out before we started in terms of ingredients, but in terms of process, a couple of things we sort of did on the fly. And that was really cool.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but the plan is to sort of flip it around and go down there to brew sometime in the...
Yeah, sometime in the very near future. We were supposed to go down there and brew a hazy IPA of our own.
Cool. Yeah, so if you're down in Cincinnati and listening to our podcast, go check out Streetside's Tap Room. Good little spot.
Yeah, they had it on this weekend as well, serving in the can down there with cheese pizza, maybe not. They had it in the can down there, offered. Took some cases
here.
Back with them from our event last Friday when we launched it, and I saw some untapped posts, so I think people are getting into it down there.
And thank you for shoehorning that into the podcast so none of us have to. That's... quite industrious of you.
We lost our soundboard with Adam's dead computer, so all those old sound bites are history unless we bring them back.
You guys could reenact them live.
Yeah, we can make sound bites all day. It's that's how we roll here.
Can we get a so dank from that side of the room?
Sure. So dank.
Oh,
nailed it.
Dude, reverb on
that was crazy.
Nailed it.
We're not your puppets, Mark.
Yeah, jeez, man.
Breaking down beer stats on this beer, Dan?
Yeah. Breaking down beer stats?
We found out, we originally aiming for this to be in the double IPA territory, but found out a lot of things about adding fruit in this the course of this brew, like peaches and apricots are not as, don't have as much sugar as wort does, so even if you brew a really strong wort, it is going to dilute it quite a bit. We didn't factor that into our calculations so much. So it came in at 6.3% ABV, which I think actually works well in our favor here. 36 IBUs. We did just a little bit of Bravo as a bittering hop. Simcoe, it was really cool. That was part of the collaborative processes. First time we did a hop stand at, 170. So the idea being that if you just chuck Whirlpool hops in as soon as you cut the boil off, you're still going to be evaporating a bunch of oils and aromas that you really want in the beer. So by cooling it down below 180, where a lot of the volatility occurs, you can keep that in the beer. So that's something they do on their beers and suggested we do. And we did. And I think it popped. Yeah, it really, if you tried the beer pre-fruiting, you could tell it like really popped with Simcoe. It was really nice. Yeah, and then Caliente and Racal dry hops. We've used Racal quite a bit. It's got a nice apricot flavor and aroma to it. Caliente, I had tried some samples at CBC last year and noted it had a nice sort of stone fruit aroma, so we decided to chuck some of that in there too. But yeah, malted oats from our friends up around Cleveland at House Malts, some flaked oats, white wheat, pale ale from our silo, and 150 pounds of lactose to give the milkshake aspect of the milkshake IPA.
Awesome.
Hefty.
Hefty.
Oh, look at this. Adam just walked in the room. Adam, what's going on out in the beer garden? Got any updates?
Hooking up all the solar power today and tomorrow, so part of the Sun Grant. We're running most power off of solar out there, off the sun.
That's awesome.
Don't mess with much like Superman, Adam is also powered by the sun.
It's true.
So, Hajir, this is your first time here on the podcast. A lot of our listeners might not be familiar with you or what you do here at the Land Grant Brewing Company.
Yep.
Why don't you fill in what the day in the life of a
smooth transition
of a beer delivery distribution master goes.
Well, yeah, I mean, I split my time between being on the road delivering beer to the wonderful people of Columbus, and the other half I'm in the back making sure the beer is fresh, making sure we're keeping our coolers organized and tidy.
Kegs are heavy, so keeping things
I don't go to the gym anymore. Get my workout here now. And yeah, nothing too crazy. Just keeping everyone on the road, keeping our beer in the restaurants and in the grocery stores. So
keep on keeping on.
That's what I tell people. I'm like, what's Hajir do? Nothing too crazy.
No, that's true.
Nothing too crazy.
He tells me he works behind the scenes and prefers it that way.
Yeah, yeah. I like it that way. So.
Yeah. So. Not a glory hog like myself.
No.
Which is with the head of hair
it's
you
necessary,
got.
Kind of
surprising.
Yeah.
He's got the best hair at Land Grant. Got
to do what I can, you know. Check out that calendar. It's coming out.
Yeah,
when's that coming out?
The Boys of Land Grant calendar, actually.
This year
is all 12 months.
Hair of the month calendar.
Yep. 12 months, 12 different poses, you know.
Yeah, they'll be available for your 4th of July parties.
Yep.
Big 4th of July gift giving opportunity.
Or get one at the new year, you know. Get all 12 months.
You can only buy 6 months if you buy it in July. But if you buy it at the end of the year, you can get all 12 months.
If you put down a down payment, we'll give you 6 months. And then, another 6 months following.
So reeling back into this beer, Walt, why don't you tell us a little bit about the design of this beer, how we came up with the name. I think Justin came up with the name, right?
Yeah, Justin came up with the name, if you couldn't tell. There are beers that are a little more straightforward, and then there are beers that are just really goofy and kind of dumb. And the brand on this one's just kind of fun and goofy and silly. So Justin came to me, and because it's a milkshake IPA, with a ton of peach in it, obviously, you know, peaches and apricot have a little fuzz on them, so playing off the Got Milk campaign, we came up with the name Got Fuzz. I don't know where this came from in my mind, but I just immediately pictured, you know, a carton of milk walking down the street,
drinking his own business,
drinking peach and hop juice. And
I think it's hilarious.
And I sketched it up. Sure enough, it was in my mind, and now it's on a can label out there.
What's that little milk carton's name? Mr. Fuzz?
Fuzzy. Bones was calling him Mr. Fuzz. My daughter called him, said it was a girl though, so I think we're going with Miss Fuzz.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's cool.
Gender fluid milk carton.
Cool. Good looking label.
It was a fun one. I mean, it's a fun beer style, and collaborations are fun, and
yeah, this beer is so fun, too. And Dan, kudos. Just so packed with flavor. I think that's the way I've described it to everybody. It's just over the top in so many ways. The fruit is on the forefront. You also get the hops. It's thick and chewy like a milkshake IPA should be. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Super juicy.
I think I think when we first tapped it, it definitely it was almost just like boozy peach and apricot juice, but it's calmed down just a little bit, so it tastes a little bit more like a fruited IPA now. It tastes like more like a beer.
Yeah, and I mean, I think if you're doing what you should and taking your dad out to brunch on Sunday, you should probably take him somewhere that's got fuzz on tap, because this would be a pretty good brunch beer, if you ask me.
Better than a mimosa, for sure.
Yes. And it's a better value, too. Mm-hmm. This mimosa, that's a racket.
Yeah,
it's almost mimosa-like, I would say.
Yeah.
Isn't there only one place you can get Got Fuzz, or have we...
There's a little bit of it out there.
Yeah, it's gotten around a little bit to some of the smaller grocers. Don't really have a SKU set up for a four-pack.
Do we send kegs out anywhere?
Very, very limited.
All right, well, take your dad to the Land Grant and get Ray Ray's for brunch then.
Saber Pint, Saber Growl.
Yeah.
They got a bunch.
Jir would know.
Yep.
He's getting it out there.
Mm-hmm. Check your bottle shops. That'd be my recommendation.
I would say if you have had fruited IPAs before, it'd probably be a little bit more tart. This was 3/4 apricots and 1/4 peaches. Peaches, not most people know, are actually very acidic. Once you ferment out all of that fruit, they are very, very tart. You don't get that when you taste them up front because they're so sweet up front. But yeah, that was another part of the collaborative process, is we were just going to do straight apricots, because they say if you want something that tastes like peaches and you're brewing with it, it's preferable to just use apricots. But through a collaboration that Streetside Guys did with Platform, they said in their sour they use a little bit of peach with their apricot, and it makes it pop. I'm like, hey, that's a good idea. So it was fun to work with, but challenging. It's quite weird. The apricot puree is a lot thicker than the peach puree. The peach puree looks like peach juice. The apricot puree is like syrup. So it's really weird seeing like one after another come out of the bag. But we found out very quickly that it wasn't all going to fit in our tank. And I was doing it over the course of a morning brew, trying to put a few boxes in at a time. And the last time I opened it up and saw foam coming up at my face, I'd been long enough, a few hours, that the yeast had started to re-ferment the fruit. So I had banger shut, and we ended up getting another tank sandy that was bigger, and throwing the rest of the fruit in there after it fermented out and racking on top of it. I think it actually ended up working well, because it trapped more of that aroma in it. But yeah,
first night I had it, when we released it, I thought maybe this was a two crusher just because of the perceived thickness of it, but I'm taking the whole four pack. I'm going 4 crusher on this one.
I'd say 3 or 4. Kind of it's got a tartness to it that I wouldn't necessarily put it at the top of the crushability scale, but I'd say 3 or 4, because this is damn refreshing beer. So
yeah, it really is.
Yeah, following my usual procedure, I will do 3 and then take that 4th the following morning. But I think there is a little bit of a hop burn on the back end of this from when we were circulated with the dry hop. A lot of people in a NEPA expect that, but it will mellow out with time. So, this will only get more drinkable, despite what you might think about IPAs.
So check back with Dan in 1 month, and he might be up to 4 crusher.
That's true, if there's any left, which I sincerely doubt it.
Yeah, I'd go with 3, solid 3. Save the last one for dessert after dinner.
So. Oh, there you go. That's a good idea.
It's a good call.
Have it with some ice cream.
Yeah, maybe some ice cream.
Maybe. So if you had it after dinner, though, would you be still be a 4 crusher if you have all 4 that day?
Yeah, I suppose so, but yeah, I'd go solid 3.
You know, there's
a lot of semantics.
We really haven't defined the crushability scale all that well, so I think it's, you know, everyone has their own, you know, their own crushability spectrum. It's not the most scientific, you know, scale.
Yeah, so getting back to food pairings, Dan, I know you're always an expert on this. What do you want to have with this, aside from tacos and chili?
Well, I don't claim to be an expert in anything, but I have been doing the, as I hinted a few episodes ago, I'd try the IPA with cheese thing, and it actually works pretty well. And I've been doing that more recently with the, not to bring the place down, with the departure of Anthony Bourdain, who probably not as nice terms, said screw dessert, bring me the cheese plate. So I've been doing so lately, and having IPAs with cheese actually really, really works.
What kind of cheese?
I'm all over the map. I usually try to do cheddar.
Craft single.
Gouda. Something a little sharp on this.
I recently got a really nice French blue that worked well with.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. But I would say on the Ray Ray's front, I think we used this last week, but the sweet barbecue sauce and also the habanero have a bit of a stone fruit character that would mesh well with the beer. And you've got the lactose and the oats that might put the fire out on the heat of the habanero. So I think that'd be a good pairing.
Awesome. This week we had a question via email.
Oh.
So we got an email from Fish. Does anybody know Fish?
Oh, of course I know Fish. Fish is a longtime regular at the Land Grant Brewing Company tap room. I think he was probably in here week one or two.
Maybe I know his face and not his
name. He's a very tall, skinny man who loves mountain climbing. Was a good friend of our old pal, Brian Guy.
Oh, right on.
Now lives out in Oregon. Brian, if you're listening, we all say hello.
Hey, Brian.
To you and
sup?
Your
I
lovely
you.
Wife, Stephanie. But yeah, Fish is a longtime Land Granter, and we're happy to have his question answered or attempted to be answered on our podcast.
Well, he says exactly the same. He's been a longtime fan of you. This is him speaking then, a longtime fan of you guys.
You don't have to pretend, Mark.
He's not speaking for us.
Yeah. Look into my eyes when you said that.
Beers, brewery, design, continuity, the whole nine yards, Fish digs. He had two questions. One, it's looking like lagers are becoming the next big market in the craft beer world. Since it seems y'all are ahead of the curve on your lager game, what are some interesting styles I may not know about but should? And then a second question of which beer was the most difficult to scale up?
When the BJCP updated their guidelines, they added some Czech styles I had never heard of, mostly because they are native to the Czech Republic. They have an amber and a dark lager style that sound intriguing to me. I guess the amber is like somewhere between a English bitter and your typical sort of like Bow Pils, and with the dark lager is somewhere, you know, kind of like a Schwarz beer, but with more body and more caramel character, and you know, obviously the noble hops that they would use in the Czech Republic. So the Czech Republic is on my travel list, on the short list, you know, when my kids grow up 10 years from now, it's on there. So
yeah, great beer is a good call.
I would also mention if you've never had Schlenkerla's Helles, it is not a smoked beer, but everything else they do is. So their pipes are sort of infused with smoked flavor. So that beer comes out as a delicious, crisp Helles with just like a little smoky kiss at the back end. It Ooh. Is, if you can find it fresh here, it is super, super good. I can drink buckets of the stuff.
Scaling up our beers, what do you think on that, Dan?
Elixir was a fun surprise. So when we did it in the Pilot Bright, which is just like a little four-barrel tank, it got up to beyond pink, almost a magenta color the next day. When we did the exact same process, throwing it into our 80-barrel tank, we looked at the sight glass and like, oh, there's no color. So we didn't know if the color just wasn't going into the sight glass because it was clogged, or if the whole tank looked like that. So we ended up recirculating the whole thing for, I think, 3 or 4 hours. And there was bits of... We put most of the hibiscus for that beer in a bag, but there was some that got chucked in. And so it was going through the pump and clogging stuff up. That was not fun. But apart from that, going from concentrate to Corsica, which is essentially the same beer, was also not fun because it was a hazy beer, but it was not opaque like concentrate was. And a lot of that had just to do with going from a 4-barrel fermenter up to a 20-barrel fermenter. And you've got those increased pressures and more stuff dropped out of solution. And we were also not able to recirculate that one as long as we did concentrate. So a lot of people did not agree with the turbidity of that beer. However, I thought it was delicious.
Yeah, it was great, delicious beer. Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Not the haziest beer in the world, but not the haziest beer.
But it was delicious and so juicy. And maybe as Hajir would say,
so dank.
Got him.
Oh, man, right on cue. He served it up, and he put it away.
That's how we do it.
Nailed it. So, upcoming episodes of Beards with the Brewers, we've got the 97.1 The Fan pilot batches, I think, coming up next week. Chris will be talking a little bit about that and the beers that he made for T-Bone and Common Man.
Yeah, and on my drive home yesterday, they were talking about what a fun experience they've had brewing the beers here. But they did they encouraged people to come down to the tap room to try all of our B-sides and somehow came around to comparing us to Dave Matthews Band and that Stiff Arm was like Ants Marching. Jesus, man. And that a lot of the lesser known beers we have here are like the rare concert only cuts. So yeah, I don't know. Well, I'm not a big Dave Matthews Band fan, but I see where they're going with it, and I appreciated that. So yeah, it's you know, I'd say Stiff Arm's more like you're bouncing around the room, whereas
that's what I'm talking about.
Whereas something like a Franklinton Pub Ale would be your you know, Weka Paw Groove. Hey-o. You know,
are we doing music pairings on this?
Sounds like we are now. Are we? What do you got? What do you got, Hush?
Oh, me? Well, you know it's gonna be fish, and then. For the milkshake IPA, I'd probably say
Harry Hood.
Nah, I was thinking actually.
You feel good about Hood?
If I had a milkshake IPA at that Baker's Dozen run last year, that would have made my day.
Yeah, if Hajir went to a fish party in New York where they played 13 nights in a row, and they were all based off donuts, and they actually just announced they're doing the same thing in Cincinnati. It's called the Fish. Cincinnati Chili Five-Way Extravaganza.
Five nights of fun.
Five nights, each night based on a different ingredient in a Skyline Five-Way.
This is ridiculous. If you need a song to go with this beer, obviously it's Peaches.
Oh, by
Pusa.
Wait, is it
what about Peaches
that one from President
of the United States of America? Yeah. Oh. I'm dating myself horribly.
No,
but
no,
yes.
I know what you're talking about.
Peaches come from a can. They were put there by a man.
What about Peaches?
Thank you, Mark.
Peaches and Peaches and Regalia by Zappa. Zappa.
That's a good one.
Ooh, that's a good one. Oh,
that's
man.
Actually, that's the pairing right
maybe
there.
One of the best compositions of our time.
Also a song famous for being covered by the band Fish.
Awesome.
I heard them
do that once. Good time.
Also coming up on Beer with the Brewers, we're bringing back Franklinton Pub Ale, and you just may be able to get a six-pack to go here at the tap room. So.
Just maybe.
Also, we've got Pale Blue Sky, the blueberry pale ale, making its return this year.
Yeah, and also a beer that we've already covered in Beers with the Brewers, but it's going to be coming back to the tap room in Columbus here soon, is Quadra Hopic, so keep your eyes out there for that.
Pretty excited about that. That's an awesome beer.
So if you don't know about that, go back to the archives of this podcast, however you do that, and listen to that episode.
We're packaging it this week, so should be able to get that in the tap room Friday and out in the stores again next week. We made a lot of it this time.
Friggin' delicious.
All right. I think that's a wrap this week. You guys got anything else to add?
No, just tune in to me and Hajir's Fish Fry Fridays podcast where we talk about it's our Lent. It's our podcast that goes through the Lent season. It's all about fish and fish fries.
Hajir, can we get one more So Dank for the road?
For Christ's sake, Mark. So Dank.
Got him. Have a great week. Come on down to the tap room, get a beer, and don't forget to tip your bartenders.
Yep.